This is the second interview with Baylen Mason at her home in Rosemead, conducted on February 12, 1980, for the Rosie the Riveter Revisited Project. Interviewer is Sherna Cluck.
About that, you were mentioning that during the 1920s you were considered wild?
Oh, yes, we were, because we loved to dance. You know, from the Victoria era to that time, it was kind of shocked to the people of the era. Lipstick and all that stuff. So, yeah, we went wild.
What was your dress like? You were pointing to the shorts.
Yes, I have to clear up to here.
Uh-huh.
And I have some pictures next time you come,
okay.
And I share the pictures. I had real long hair, cleared down to my waist. My dad would never let me cut my hair. So I begged and then I had my hair cut. All the girls were using bangs, and I still can't get away from my bangs. So finally on my 16th birthday, he said, okay, call the barber. We used to have a friend who was a barber. Okay, cut your hair. Right away, he took the shears and half of it went up. Oh, I cried for a month. At night, I stuck the mirror with me. Oh, and I cried. My poor dad, God bless him. He said, well, that's what you wanted. Oh, why did you let, you know how you radical when you're small, yeah. Why did you let him do it? Finally, I got used to the idea.
So it was Bob. It was like the Bob.
It was Bob, uh-huh.
And did you call yourselves Blackers?
No, well, every now and then, you know, but it wasn't, we didn't pay attention. I didn't anyway.
But at the same time, you were still being chaperoned. You couldn't go anywhere alone, right?
Well, at night,
mm-hmm.
or say like when my brother, but when I became 17, when my dad was more lenient, he used to let me go to the park and not to the beach alone. We had to go to families and then to the beach alone, to the park, because right there in Hollaback Park on mm-hmm. East L.A., they used to have a dance in the afternoon there on Sundays from 1 to 5, you know, for the young kids. And then canoe riding was our favorite sport. So I used to tell my dad I was going to the movies. It was right around the corner. And some girlfriends and myself and maybe one of the boys from the neighborhood, we'd go up there and dance and dance and then, and we'd come home about around 5:30. So my father, for a long time, he didn't know about that. Finally, he caught us one day. But my dad was, I really couldn't explain the way he was. He just let me grow.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think he started teaching me the basics of what life, what was to expect on each phase of my growing years. And I always trusted his judgment. And my grandmother and my grandfather was more than my brother.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, he used to take care of my brother more and give him more advice, take him out to work, you know what men
mm-hmm.
usually do. So, and not my grandmother was in the kitchen with her and I was helping her, things like that, you see.
Was and this in New Mexico, or did your grandmother come here?
In New Mexico. No, in New Mexico. She didn't come here until after my grandfather passed away. And, well, my dad never said, you can do this, you can do that. Just be careful, don't forget. After he started letting me go little by myself, but he always knew who I was with. And he didn't have worries because it was all the boys from the same neighborhood. Because when my husband, first husband, Sam, appeared in the picture, well, he wasn't from the neighborhood. He was from West L.A. And his father had just passed away, and his mother came to live here in Los Angeles. So he was kind of hesitant at first because he didn't know who he was. And he was a stranger. None of the boys knew him
mm-hmm.
around there. I was the first one to meet him. He'd come to the neighborhood where everybody thought he was, where he come from. We want to find out who he is. My dad finally found out who he is, but deep inside of him, he wanted me to keep on going to school. See, he wanted me to go to college. But since he took sick, he had an accident at work, so I had to stop at the 11th grade and help him.
Mm-hmm.
While he was ill,
Well, what would you do? Help him out?
Well, I got my first job. That's when I told you I started making hats.
Well, Balin, tell me a little bit more about the neighborhood. It was one of the things I wanted to ask you more about, because it seems that it was such a close community and so tight-knit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about who the other people were who lived in the neighborhood and what their families were like.
Well, there were people. There were natives. Some were natives from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right there about 6 blocks from 7th and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Skid Row. Yeah. They seem to, I think they're trying to bring it up again because there's a lot of people, Mexican aliens, that live around there. So, there were a lot of Spanish people, Spaniards, Spaniards, and white people.
Mm-hmm.
And people were coming from New Mexico.
And who were the people who were coming from New Mexico? Were they white or Spanish or Mexican?
Spanish. They were Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They were Spanish. And there weren't very many. See, L.A. was only a little village. It wasn't as big as it is now.
And when you talk about the boys in the neighborhood, and he wasn't one of the boys in the neighborhood, who would be the boys in the neighborhood? What would their background?
Well, our friends, like you say all these blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our parents knew each other. It's not like now, you know. L.A. was noted for being snobs, the natives. It wasn't that we were snobs. Our parents were concerned. They were very concerned. They didn't let us just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when a stranger would come in the neighborhood, a boy or anybody that was stranger, if they were visiting the neighbors, fine. But, you know, if a stranger would come to see one of the girls, well, then the parents wanted to find out who the boy was. They wanted to meet the mother. They wanted to meet the father. They wanted to meet the whole... Well, we didn't mind, really, because it was just the way we were brought up. So we really didn't mind that at all.
Now, were there any Mexican families in the neighborhood?
Yeah, then in later years, some... Mexican people start coming in. Not very many, though. But they were different than what they are now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the white people were so different from what they are now, you know. And we used to hear, there was like a reservation, I think it was, way on East L.A., way down there by the woods, hills, and those were Mexicans over there, over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that years, I can say around 1900 or something, that those people that were there couldn't cross the L.A. River after 6 o'clock. But see, those people were the people that were here when United States, when Freeman walked right, marched on Aldera Street, and they all started running to the hills, and they were all there when they took over. So then they put them all like in reservation, and then it was maybe it was the second generation coming up from that time. And so we used to, those were Mexicans, and we were Spanish. So that's the way it was.
Was a lot of Spanish spoken in the neighborhood?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm, quite a bit. But like I said, different Spanish, too. It was mostly Castilian, what they called the Castilian.
Where were most of these families from? Were they from the Chihuahua area?
Some were from Guadalajara. Some were from Sonora.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just about from Sonora and Guadalajara.
But they define themselves as Spanish rather than Mexican.
Yes, because I think it was still, everything was young yet, and all that territory that's Mexico now were mostly Spanish. And then the Indian woman start having a baby from the Spanish man. And because the queen didn't allow the whites to come to discover this country, the country. So then the man, the Indian woman started having, and Spain didn't like that. Mm-hmm. Even up to the time I was born, I think they would send a child that was born out of their own idea. So then the Mexican race started coming in from the children of half Spanish, half breeds, they used to call them, of different gender. That's what they, because as they start growing, the Spaniards used to treat them like slaves. Mm-hmm. See, that's what happened when the revolution, between Mexico and Spain, mm-hmm. because they were just too tired, being treated terrible by the Spaniards. So that's where the Mexican race started coming in.
But so these people who lived in your neighborhood would mm-hmm. identify themselves as Spanish rather than Mexican.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the Mexicans you saw as the people who were the settlers of Los Angeles,
right.
who were here.
Yes, right.
And were then pushed out.
Uh-huh. Right. They were, see, those were the ones that were still coming, that were still... they must have come some from Mexico, or they must have been the half-breeds. Mm-hmm. Because usually the real Spaniards that were here in California, they had them separate. Mm-hmm. See, because most of the, when the Spaniards, see, they had a lot of ranches, and because we call them ranches, other places we call them farms. And they were well-to-do people, right. The Sepulvedas. So they knew that they were going to, the United States was going to take over. So they started marrying their daughters with white men. Some stole away from the boats. Some didn't even have money, nothing. But they figured their grandchildren was going to be mixed with white, so they wouldn't have it so bad mm-hmm. as they would be growing up. They would consider them white. You see, that's how it was.
So in the neighborhood, though, this would include some of the old L.A. Spanish families, as
yes.
well as the new families coming from
right.
Arizona
right.
and New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh.
I see. And now how about the miners? You say some of the miners started to come. Were the miners Spanish or Mexican or what?
They were mixed mm-hmm. because there were a lot of Spaniards there living there that were from Spain. Mm-hmm. Because according to what I heard a lot of this from my grandparents. It came straight from him. That all around that area in New Mexico, that's where the Spaniards made their homes, mm-hmm. and California, but that was years later. Because all that area reminded them so much of Spain, see? So when the United States took over, there were lots of settlers there when the United mm-hmm. States took over. And that's why all that air. Now, if New Mexico is divided too, that's what I went to find out. This when I went this Christmas, I thought, yeah, that now, say for instance, around Albuquerque, New Mexico, they're all Spaniards.
Mm-hmm.
You call them Mexicans, but they resent that. And now down towards El Paso,
mm-hmm.
they're mixed.
Right.
The Spaniards and the Mexicans, and I'd say because it was all around that territory where I was born. It's about 100 miles from Cruces and El Paso. Mm-hmm. Why it was Spanish. I hear Indians and Spanish, and then the few Mexicans that were coming from Mexico because it was already a country. Mexico mm-hmm. was I think they won the independence in 1810. See, so then they called themselves Mexican.
Now, tell me, your father learned Spanish then?
Yes, but not very well. You know, he was broken in Spanish.
And
not
what,
like my mother.
What would you speak in the house as children?
We spoke both.
Mm-hmm.
See, because my mother didn't want for us to lose our identity, our roots,
mm-hmm.
as they say. This was my mother. This is my mother and my dad.
Oh.
This is 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And he died in 56. And this is 1969.
Mm-hmm. You look like him.
Yes, now that I'm older,
yeah.
I look a lot like him. I look myself in pictures. And
in terms of the neighborhood, you say it would be like everyone on the block would know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is someone like your father, who wasn't Spanish, viewed mm-hmm. by the other people in the neighborhood? Because he was Navajo. Did they know that, Prince?
Yes. Uh-huh. There was no prejudice. Mm-hmm. I never come across prejudice until 1965, when my daughter bought a home in, 1962. My son passed away in 1960, in May of 62, and I moved in with my daughter in September of 62. And then I started working in the hospital in the later part of 62. And there's where I come across prejudice.
Oh, okay. I'm going to make a note so that when we get up to there, we can talk about it.
Okay.
Now, were there other Indians in the area at all? Were there other Navajos, for instance?
No, not that I know of. Mm-hmm. In later years, mm-hmm. yes, but not at that time when I'm in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The other thing that struck me that I hadn't asked you about was here you were the oldest mm-hmm. of a very large family.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of responsibilities did you have in the home as you were a child, first in New Mexico and then when you came to Los Angeles?
Well, in New Mexico, I didn't have no responsibilities. Just my responsibility myself, growing up, taking care of myself, learning the hygiene and how to straighten my bed. And my dad, he made me a little playhouse because he figured if I had my little playhouse, I would learn how to do housework. And you know, that stayed with me with dolls and little things. I loved that. So then as I was become teenager, well, my responsibility was my room, and I paid my telephone bill because I had it in my room, so I had to pay for it. And that's about all.
How about other taking care of other children?
Oh, I used to babysit for other people. Yeah, I used to babysit. Right.
In your family?
No.
Because so often the oldest, especially the oldest girl, ends up being the mother of some of the younger children.
Well, I have to tell you, maybe it's a little different, but I can see it now, that I think I was very special when I was born, both in my mother's side of the one I tell you, her sister,
mm-hmm.
and my dad. And her, of course, my mother never expressed her feelings, her emotions. She was kind of cold. I tried to kiss her, put my arms around her, and she'd say no. I mean, I could feel that she... But I had a lot of love from my dad, my grandmother, grandfather, my mother too, but I accept her ways. So, I didn't do housework. I didn't take care of my brothers and sisters. Only one, I remember. Because I liked it so well that I used to take care of. Otherwise, I didn't want to take care of children. That wasn't my world, having so many children.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go out and see what that world was like. And all the money that I earned babysitting, and we used to know this doctor used to take care of, you know, us children and everything. So I used to go in our neighbors, see who was, ask if there was somebody that was sick so I could call the doctor. Every time he'd come and he knew that I called him, he used to give me 25 cents. So I wanted everybody to be, so I saved the money because my dad, he didn't take my money. He said, you help me. And you're getting growing older, you're a teenager, so now you buy clothes, because I used to like nice clothes, because I always had it from the time I was little. But now what I think is, I think my grandmother on my mother's side used to give my, the one I call grandmother, money to buy me things, I think, because she used to take me to Deming, New Mexico, or Silver City, and buy me pretty hats and pretty dresses and gloves and little purse. And I had to be a lady. As I was growing up, I had to behave like a lady.
What did that mean exactly, in terms of what you had to do?
Well, if we go visiting anybody, well, I had to sit down. I was never supposed to cross my leg. I was when they were supposed to talk unless somebody talked to me, and play with the children, and well, I was supposed to be a little lady, I guess. That's the way they were brought up, you know, on my mother's side. On my dad's side, well, I was never too close mm-hmm. with them. But I think now, because my dad couldn't afford to buy me all the things that my grandmother used to buy me, because I think she used to give my other grandmother that had money, used to give so she could buy me things, mm-hmm. see? So, and then I had a lot of nice things as I was going. I had my own room. And when I became a teenager, my dad would too. He'd buy me nice dresses. He left the other ones go because they were younger, mm-hmm. and he left the boys go because they could wear patched pants and all that. But I was growing up, and I had to look my best as I was growing up. So,
what was the age difference between you and the next girl?
Boy.
The next one was a boy.
Uh huh. It was a year and a half.
And how about to the next girl though?
4 years.
And what was your relationship like with her?
We could never get along because we were so different. See, I was an outdoor girl. The world to me was beautiful. I was like standing on top of a mountain. I wanted to see the whole world, see what it was like. I didn't want to stay in the kitchen. I didn't want to cook. I had a little dream in my house of the house with a picket fence and little curtains and me cooking, baking, but I didn't want to do it. And then my dad, he said, no, someday she's going to get married and she's going to do it for all the rest of her life, so just let her enjoy her youth. So I think, well, that's great, I guess.
So you weren't close then to any of your brothers and sisters?
I was closer to my brother next to me.
Mm-hmm.
See, but as he grew older, and I did too, because I changed a little bit, you know, as I grew older, and he still wanted me to be a lady, after I was married with you. I couldn't do anything out of the ordinary because, he thought I was terrible. So that's why we had problems. I think we were so close that through his eyes he saw one, me, and he had that image of me all through his life till he died, because he passed away.
Mm.
And
what did he think you should be doing?
Well, I was supposed to act like a lady, and then, you know, when the whole country went wet, there was drinks, and he never wanted me to, if he'd ever seen me take a drink, he didn't want me to smoke, he didn't want me to drink. And I was already married with children. Of course, I didn't care for it, you know. Maybe once in a while I would drink a beer, but I never did care for it. And smoke, I didn't smoke till I was around 50 years old. I smoke, and then I let it go because I didn't care for it either.
Now, is this the same brother who used to have to chaperone you when you would go
out? The same one, uh-huh. And the one that in New Mexico I used to bake mud pies, and I used to get after him because I wanted him to eat the mud pies. And then he died, and he still expect me, you know. So I always knew that when Arthur was coming over that I had to walk blind. Yeah, but he was the one that was closest than any of them. Now, the other ones look up at me like a mother, I think. Because, you know, in the Spanish people, the oldest is supposed to set an example of telling you. So, since my father gave me that responsibility to help him, you know, the children were misbehaving, to get after them, and I guess I was a little too stern with them.
So you did play a little bit of the mother role.
Yeah, after I became, say, around 14,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think they resent me because now my sister and I are 4 years apart. And in our growing years, it does make a difference, especially when two personalities are so different, like day and night, our personalities clash, even now, old as we are. Yeah, but she don't understand, but I do. You see, I do.
Now, tell me, you talk an awful lot about your father and your relationship with your father and in New Mexico with your grandmother. What sorts of things would the family as a whole do together, all the children and your mother and father? Would you do things together?
Oh, yes, we'd go first to church. That was the main thing, church. In Fiore, when I was born, there wasn't any church. They were barely building little towns in the miners. So we had to go, I'd say, around 20 miles to church in Santa Rita. So, and then afterward they start arranging, you know, bazaars and dances and dinners to raise enough money to build a church. And that's the church they have now.
Mm-hmm. So that would be the main family activity would be around the church.
Yeah, we'd go to church first. Say every Sunday, we'd go to church. And after that, well, we'd either go visit some people, or my mother would make a dinner for Sunday and have company come over. Then we used to go to the mountains hiking and like a picnic. And we used to go to, because all there is in New Mexico is pine trees. We used to go and get pine nuts from the tree. That was the holiday, the whole day there. And, we used to.
And how about when you came here to Los Angeles? What sorts of things would the family do together?
We'd go to the beach. We'd go to the baseball game every Sunday at the Coliseum in L.A. Until I became a teenager that I didn't want to go.
And this would be all the children and your mother and your father?
Yes, all the children. And the movies. Mm-hmm. And the beach and the park. I like picnic in the parks.
And what about mealtime? What was that like?
Well, we had breakfast. Like, say, on Sundays when my dad was home, we had a big breakfast. He used to cook breakfast for us.